This is Suzanne Ito for ACLU.org. In February 2007, the ACLU Women's Rights Project and the ACLU of Michigan filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of Tanika Lewis, a survivor of domestic violence. Ms. Lewis was evicted after her ex-boyfriend came to her apartment and damaged her property in violation of a personal protection order. In February 2008, the ACLU reached a groundbreaking settlement, under which the apartment complex and management company will not evict or discriminate against residents because they have been the victims of domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, or stalking. Today I'm talking with Sandra Park, the ACLU Women's Rights Project attorney who handled the case. This was a case of a private management company evicting a resident because of damage her ex-boyfriend caused to her property. Why is that illegal?
We believe that holding a domestic violence survivor responsible for damage caused by her abuser is sex discrimination. If a stranger had come to Ms. Lewis's home and broken in, she would not have been evicted based on that crime. But by blaming her for her abuser's crimes, we believe the landlord and the management company discriminated against her based on sex in violation of the Federal Fair Housing Act, as well as Michigan civil rights law. And we also alleged a violation of the federal low-income housing tax credit provision that requires evictions from low-income housing tax credit properties to be based on good cause. Ms. Lewis lived in one of those low-income housing tax credit properties.
And why is this a case of sex discrimination?
This case involved two types of sex discrimination, intentional sex discrimination and also disparate impact. I'll just explain those a little bit. First, we argued that the defendants intentionally discriminated against Ms. Lewis based on sex by relying on gendered stereotypes about domestic violence survivors in deciding to evict her. Ms. Lewis had a protective order against her ex-boyfriend, and that order barred him from coming near her home, and he literally broke into her apartment in violation of the law. But in response to that, when Ms. Lewis informed her landlord and management company about what had happened, they claimed she had violated the portion of her lease that made her responsible for her guests. By choosing to blame Ms. Lewis for the damage caused by her abusive ex-partner and deciding to treat him as her guest, even though she had a protective order against him, the landlord and management company relied on stereotypes about domestic violence survivors, that they somehow enjoy, encourage, or control the acts of their abusers. We argued that acting on such stereotypes is sex discrimination. Also, the defendant's policy of evicting domestic violence survivors based on the acts of their abusers had a disparate impact on women, because women constitute the majority of domestic violence survivors. Having a policy that has such a disproportionately negative effect on women tenants is also sex discrimination.
The settlement the ACLU reached with North End Village and Management Systems Incorporated was groundbreaking in fair housing law. Can you explain why?
We were really pleased about this settlement because of the policies the management company agreed to put in place. We know that there's a huge interconnection between homelessness and domestic violence. One study has shown that 90% of homeless women have experienced abuse in their lifetimes. But under federal law, there are limited protections for domestic violence survivors, and those protections primarily apply to women who live in public housing and Section 8 housing. And only a few states have passed laws addressing discrimination against domestic violence survivors, and Michigan's not one of them. Michigan is where Ms. Lewis lived. So this settlement is the first time we're aware of that a private housing company has agreed to a policy that protects victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and dating violence. They cannot discriminate against survivors in deciding whether to rent to them or whether to evict them. And the management company also agreed to a comprehensive policy that will allow victims to end their leases early if they need to flee, thereby releasing them from the rest of the remaining lease obligations, and also will give victims the options to relocate to another of the 10 housing communities managed by Management Systems for safety reasons. We know now that over 500 units are part of this relocation pool, which we think is a great resource for survivors. The agreement also required training for employees and provided a way for survivors to file complaints if they believe the policy has been violated and for their information to be kept confidential. The ACLU Women's Rights Project will continue to monitor the implementation of the policy.
Thanks for listening to this ACLU podcast. To learn more about this case, go to aclu.org/fairhousingforwomen.